What's up, guys? Welcome to the Locked On Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Woo. I am Honest Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Update.
We got some good stuff for you today. First up, we're going to talk about the proposed rule changes. They're going to be voted on September 20th to the 21st by the NBA Board of Governors.
What you need to know, how we feel about it.
And then we're going to go into kind of power ranking the small forwards in the Pacific Division, kind of the whole core of those.
All right.
And then, as everyone knows,
love, marry, kill, yeah. Baby. Your favorite squad in a whole new light.
We're going to be love, marry, and killing all the small forwards in the Pacific Division. Stay tuned.
Hey, guys. We're back after that break. So, some pretty biggish news, I would say, in the NBA
definitely.
Going on right now. Some new rules are going to be voted on by the NBA.
The biggest one being, the one that at least most people seem to be talking about is after an offensive rebound, the shot clock will not set back to 24. It'll go to 14.
Which I think is really interesting.
I'm for it. I don't see how it can be detrimental to the game at all.
Yeah, we've talked about, I don't know if we talked about it on this podcast, but we've talked in private about how offensive rebounding has really, really kind of declined.
It's like dead almost.
Yeah, with the pace the game is played at now.
Everyone's so fast, you just have to get back.
You'd almost rather just forego the offensive rebound, rush back on defense.
Getting your half court set.
So that's a little interesting. I also almost feel like maybe this rule is a little overdue.
Because they've been doing it in FIBA forever.
Yeah, and I don't know that... I do think offensive rebounding is great, and I would love to see it kind of like... I would love to see more play on the boards come back.
Yeah.
Obviously, I still just don't know that an offensive rebound is worth an entire second possession.
Yeah, that's what I agree. I love... Well, because this is a big issue at the end of games. It's a four-point game. The team who's up by four has, let's call it, 50 seconds left on the clock. They get some garbage shot off that they get forced into. They get the offensive rebound. The game's over.
Yeah.
The 24
seconds.
Or you just
take a garbage shot. Then yeah. You know you can rebound. I mean, not that that's probably happening, but that's how I would
hey,
think if
Smith
I was out there.
J.R. Smith would do that. So I like that. I like that the end of games, maybe we might get a little more crunch time situations.
Yeah. What do you think that this will do? I mean, it'll increase the amount of possessions each team has, like, has to.
So scoring should go up.
Yeah.
Which I guess they want more of. Scoring is already so high.
Scoring is very high.
Do you think we'll see... I mean, how many points do you think this will boost the median score?
I don't know. In the 105, probably 105, 110 range.
Wow. I think the median might be around 115 this year.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think it's going to go that high.
It's that many more possessions and... A point that someone online brought up, I don't know, I read so many anonymous comments about that. Most teams can get set up for an offense in 15 seconds anyway now.
Yeah.
Like that 10 seconds before, I feel like, was just get the ball up the court. And now it's like, yeah, the offensive rebound. Everyone's so drilled. Like, I bet the Warriors could run two plays mm-hmm. in 14 seconds if they really wanted to. I think scoring will go up. A lot of people are saying this is like helping out teams that, or it's really punishing teams that can't rebound, like, defensively.
How so?
I don't know. That was just, like, a big prevalent thing of, like, they want big men to get more time.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
So you don't see this as any sort of... How do you think this affects post-play?
I don't know if it does. Everyone plays so fast that I don't think... It's not like...
I would be inclined to agree.
Unless you're a dinosaur of a player and you haven't, I guess, modernized your game, it's kind of affect you. But again, everyone's so fast that I think it'll be a minuscule impact.
Yeah, I don't.
It's not bringing it back. I will say that.
Yeah, it's not. It's not going to increase the value of that. But I also don't see getting less time making an offensive board any less valuable.
Oh, not at all. I think offensive boards are one of the most valuable things.
Yeah,
absolutely. So I guess this makes it less valuable in the sense that you just can't run the clock down.
Yeah.
So,
and which I'm always for.
And here's a question. Offensive rebound on free throws. Does it go to 24? Does it go to 14? Because that I would like to see.
That should go to 24.
That should go to 24. But at the same time, if it went to 14.
That's very interesting.
That's a frant. You know what I mean? I didn't read too much into that. Anyone want to tweet at us with your thoughts, get at us. But
That does change things actually quite a bit.
I think the 14 seconds after the free throw really makes that more of a frantic.
And it would for sure apply to after a free throw too.
I don't know. That's okay. What I'm saying is that if it does, and you get that offensive board on the free throw, which is also very rare, then maybe because that's so rare, they won't do it to 14. They'll reward you more for getting set up.
Yeah. That's interesting.
If it went to 14, I think those possessions would be very frantic. Maybe not in a bad way. It would just like...
No, it'd be interesting.
It's going to make everyone's half court play a lot more compact. So I guess where we stand is we're pro.
Yeah.
Until we see something... Because, you know, they did it in the G League all last year. And scoring went up a little bit, and no one really complained because the game, like, you don't even really notice. And FIBA already does it. I'm such a fan of the NBA just being like, well, if FIBA's doing it, if literally the whole world plays like this.
I'd also be interested in looking at how long the average possession was post-offensive rebound. Because I feel like they're generally shorter possessions.
And people still jack up shots because they think they don't have any time.
Yeah.
The second biggest one, I think, is the clear path rule that they're going to vote on, which is... Fouls that stop a fast break, what they think, it's going to turn into two free throws, just like the FIBA rule. And I love this. I hate when you see a fast break and then a defender just gives them an arm check and it's just like, well, possession.
Yeah.
Like, he stopped a very clear 99.9% scoring opportunity.
Totally.
So I'm pro that one. Do you have anything to say about that one, really?
No, I mean, I think that it makes sense. I think that it's just one of those things where that's just kind of sloppy play that I don't really need to see.
I think it'll make defense better, too, on fast break defense.
Yeah.
I think we'll see a lot of people maybe becoming more valuable because they can keep up without fouling on those. You know, like when the offensive player runs into the defensive guy to get contact?
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping we see that called less on the defense. And I think we might see some guys who just maybe make their bones being really good at fast break defense and can just keep up.
I'm also excited to see it exploited.
Oh, absolutely. Maybe like hockey style, like you kind of push them into the corner or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
Again, basketball and hockey are becoming the same sport. those are the two biggest things in the NBA.
Yeah.
Pretty much happening right now. Right now, actually, we can talk about, we're going to rank kind of individually how we see each small forward core in the Pacific Division.
Yeah.
So the Lakers have Ingram, Lance Stephenson, and Luol Deng, who I kind of just put there for fun. I don't think he's going to play at all.
No.
The Suns have TJ Warren, Trevor Reese, and Mikal Bridges.
Which is such a solid lineup.
Very solid. Clippers, Gallo, Luka Mbamute, and Wes, which, I mean, even just reading those kind of bums me out, if I'm being honest.
I think those top two, you're underselling. Gallo, yeah, you know.
Injury problems, though.
I know. And I think we've said this every podcast since the World Game. You know, if he stays healthy.
Yeah.
But no, for real, if he stays healthy... Pretty good.
Watch out. Kings got Bogdan and Justin Jackson.
Okay.
And then the Warriors. And I'm going off the ESPN depth chart. I'm not going, you know, I'm not doing the 3.5-4 type thing.
Yeah.
And the Warriors have KD and Iguodala.
Yeah.
So my power rankings, I'm going to go Warriors 1, simply for KD. I think Iguodala might slow down this year.
Yeah. So are you not counting LeBron as a small forward for the Lakers?
I was putting him at the 4.
Okay.
Because on the depth chart, according to ESPN, he's at the 4.
That doesn't really make sense to me, but we'll go with
it. Hey, I agree. I mean, I think we can agree probably Warriors at 1.
Yes.
Who do you have at 2?
I have Lakers, but I'm counting LeBron.
Okay. That's fair. I was going to put Lakers 2 anyway, just because Ingram and Lance.
Yeah.
That's a good 1-2. That's such different styles of play.
Yeah. Well, I thought Lance plays more the 2.
Hey, I'm going off ESPN, baby. All
right.
and then I am going to put the Suns. Sneaky 3 might overtake the 2.
Definitely. See, so that would be my biggest argument for 2, especially with what you have listed here with like what ESPN has in their depth chart. I would actually put the Suns over the Lakers at 2.
I had that thought too, but I think with LeBron kind of plays wherever he wants, as he should.
Yeah.
So I think if LeBron doesn't play the small forward for the Lakers, I was thinking that too. The Suns, I mean, that's such an even keel.
And like, we haven't seen Mikal Bridges yet, but like, in that in the championship game, he was incredible.
There's two guys ahead of him, so he's not forced into just starting. That'll be really interesting to see. I think the Suns are going to surprise people. Clippers, I think, are...
Oh,
what?
Nothing.
3?
Yes.
Yeah, I think Clippers are... I'm going to put Clippers at 4. Yeah, the Clippers are the 4th one. Clippers have the 4th best small forward.
So you're going Warriors, Suns, Lakers, Clippers.
Warriors, Suns, Lakers, Clippers. Which, I mean, we'll try and not talk about Gallo's injuries, but just, I mean, Wesley Johnson not cutting it. I mean, he's just not, you don't want to see him on the floor usually.
Yeah.
Things are either going really bad or really well.
Yeah.
Gallo let's just say he's gonna put up 20 a game this year.
Oh, easy.
We do have, this is dumb and this is a very, I guess, Clippers-y thing to say. I'm happy we got three guys at that position. You know, like, we have injury trouble, we're gonna need more guys right there. Who do you think's gonna fill in when one of these guys gets hurt from another position group?
I don't know, I guess.
Toby?
Yeah, I would.
He can slide over.
Yeah, I would guess you would probably have Toby at the three. Because he's really right in that size for to be like a 3-4.
For sure.
I think he and Gallo are almost like the exact same height.
They have very similar measurements.
Yeah.
As well. So yeah, I'd put Toby in that. I guess that makes us a little bit better. But then I think we can both agree King's probably last.
King's last, yeah.
Bogdan, really good. And I hope kind of makes some jumps this year. He played really well last year.
Yeah, and Justin Jackson improved. I think he's gonna have a better year this year. I think he's still like one or maybe two seasons away from like a breakout year. But
I feel like every player on the Kings, it's always like next year though.
Yeah.
Like, dude, next year.
Yeah.
These Kings. But I think they'll shake out pretty standard of maybe what the standings would be, other than the Suns situation. Like the overall standings, you know?
Definitely.
Probably gonna go Warriors. I mean, Clippers are probably gonna be second, actually, now that I think about it. Lakers. Suns, Kings. I think the Suns firmly finished better than the Kings.
Oh, absolutely.
I believe in them more as an organization in
absolutely.
General, too.
I don't, you know.
Now we can get to, I think, everyone's favorite segment.
Is it time for Love, Marry, Kill?
Oh, wait. Sorry. Oh, wait. I got to give a shout-out, actually, to a Twitter user who gave us the small forward idea. Shout-out to Kinetic1 at Twitter. He was very concerned about the small forward position, and we kind of tend to agree. Looking at it typed out, it's a little hard to swallow.
Mm-hmm.
Other than the center position, it's our weakest group.
Absolutely, but only because we have like 400 guards.
Yeah, for sure. And so I wouldn't say it's make or break. I think the center position is a little more make or break for us with how the season's going to go. Because depth-wise, you know, we can slide Toby over to small forward, which is going to suck if two people get hurt. It'll be hard. But like center, man, like two people get hurt at center. I mean, we're going to see my guy, Angel Delgado. We're going to see Motley.
Yeah.
It's going to be pretty interesting.
Do you foresee two injuries, though? I mean, Gortat isn't really an injury-prone guy.
I guess I just foresee...
I don't think you can hurt him.
Yeah, no. Harrell's made of complete steel. Yeah, maybe not two injuries. Gortat is very durable. That's a good point. I'm being kind of pessimistic about that. I always think age is going to creep up on centers quicker than other positions.
I mean, that's fair, but he just played a lot of minutes last year and a lot of time, and I think even if we see a decrease of that, I mean, great.
Still won't get hurt.
Yeah, and Harrell needs more minutes.
I guess we are pretty lucky with that 1-2 in terms of durability. Because if Boban was the 2, it'd be like, oh, God.
Yeah, I think something like that would be a little bit more worrisome. You know, maybe not the greatest centers in the Western Conference, but
not the worst.
Definitely not the worst, and definitely like, I mean, you know, we've talked about it before. Harrell's a spark plug of energy. I think Gortat is like a crafty older dude who has a lot of basketball intelligence and is, you know, like he has heavy feet, but he's still a pretty
great
quick mover.
Footwork too. Yeah. So small forward, definitely the most injury prone group of guys we have.
Yeah, definitely.
Definitely, and the targets next year at free agency are kind of slim. You know, there's Kawhi.
Yeah, other than the big names.
There's
Durant.
Yeah, I think he's going to stay. There's, you know, Kelly Oubre.
The Wizards have to do something with Kelly Oubre, right?
You would think.
Or do you think they just re-sign him?
Their MO seems to be, let's just re-sign.
I just don't know what they're going to do cap-wise. Because I think they're, even with the raised cap, they're still going to be in trouble.
Yeah, and then like Justice Winslow was a name that popped out. But his contract's kind of absurd. Like, he was a product of that cap jump. So, small forward, Kinetic1, thank you for making us worry about this. I'm now generally more worried about this, I think, than the center position.
Yeah.
We do have a ton of guards. Do you think that maybe the small forward situation, if there's too many injuries, we'll just see some freakish small ball lineups?
Yeah, totally.
Like, throw us into some weird, really make Doc coach? Like, he coached last year, obviously. I don't mean that as a detriment thing, but really kind of get to, like, some tinkering, like, weird stuff.
I hope to see that this year kind of in general. I mean, this one, you know, we're being so underrated this season that...
People are sleeping on us. Clipperpedics, dude. Everyone's sleeping on us. But the tinkering would be cool. I think this is going to be a year where it's going to be a lot of, like, throw stuff at the wall. Let's just see what sticks.
Yeah.
Like, and if some goofy lineup sticks, all the more, you know? Do you think, how hard do you think we push for Kawhi?
I mean, it seems like thus far we're going to
push pretty hard. We've already fired someone. What historical figures do you think they're going to compare Kawhi to in the pitch?
Rosa Parks.
Sitting Bull.
Yeah. I think Rosa Parks because he sat out on the bench all last season.
Oh, man. You think they're going to do like some funny memes about Rosa Parks?
He refused to get on the court.
Ballmer's going to be photoshopping Kawhi's face on Rosa Parks. Yeah, I think they're going to push
hard. What about Jimmy Buckets? I feel like that'd be an interesting Clippers pick.
I would like that, too. Well, we're both pretty concerned about his knee thing.
Yeah, his knee, I guess that is really pretty troublesome.
He opted for that quick surgery, but that might work out.
Yeah, it could. I mean, crazier things.
I'd like him on the Clippers, though. He seems like a bit of a locker room, not snake, or I'm not going to say cancer either, but like just maybe a little tough to gel with locker room-wise.
Yeah, he might not be the greatest.
But Doc can handle locker rooms. He kind of had to handle a raucous one with the Lob City. Which, just a tangent, can all former Lob City players stop talking about Lob City?
Okay, yeah, what's going on with this now? We're doing like a behind the music about Lob City.
JJ Redick compared it to Donald Trump's pettiness. And I'm like, first of all, what? No, you can't compare this to Donald Trump. Please don't associate the Clippers, who already had a racist, terrible owner, with Donald Trump. Like, that's such a BS thing to say, dude.
Yeah.
And you played here not even last year. This was years ago that you played for the Clippers.
Yeah.
Like, let it go, man. We know you didn't have fun here. No one blames you for any of this.
Also, no one's begging for the inside scoop on Lob City. No one is dying to know what went wrong or, like, what happened with a team that didn't make it out of the second round.
And it's like, it's not a secret either.
Yeah.
It's not like we were like, wow, these guys seem like such good buddies. And they're communicating so openly and well on the court. How is this going wrong? We know they didn't like each other. Like, it's just big personalities. I hate it. There's this Photoshop picture that someone used of, like, Trump and Redick, because his quote was, like, Donald Trump-level pettiness. And it's like, is this what you want, Redick? Your face next to Trump's? This is what you got now, man. This is all some weird conservative NBA fans' phone backgrounds now. Like, you freak. Shout out to JJ Redick. He gave us some good years. All right. Is it time?
It's time.
Are we loving, marrying, and killing?
Love, marry, kill.
The position groups. All right, you know what? We're going to do it all the small forwards in the Pacific Division. All
right.
Who do you got? You're going first.
I'm first? Okay.
Who you loving?
Oh, man. There's just so many to love.
Oh, this is a group of lovers.
All right. I'm loving Gallo.
Wow.
Loving Gallo. I can't marry because as we've said multiple times here already, even today, his future's too shaky.
He will literally break your heart.
He will be broken into pieces, which will then break my heart.
But you guys are just going on cruises.
Yeah, we're just having fun with it. It's not getting too serious because
eating shrimps.
I'm not gonna like push him around in a wheelchair or anything like
that. Yeah, you're not gonna spoon feed him when it gets to that point.
Yeah,
he's flying you out, is what you're saying.
Yeah.
All right. So Gallo, who are you marrying?
I think I would marry. You know what? I think I would marry Ingram.
Whoa, going young.
Yeah,
you cradle
Brandon
robber.
Ingram. Yeah, very young. So much potential. He's gonna have a breakout year this year, so you know I would have liked to lock it down early.
You want to be a day one.
Oh yeah, before he's really playing the field.
Get those documents signed.
Gotta get that signed before, you know, he's gonna be able to demand a prenup, you know, after 1 year before. Yeah. So
you're doing the napkin prenup. You're doing the, like, we're at a restaurant and if we get married, like, wouldn't it be fun if we just signed this napkin that said I get half? And then he just signs it.
So yeah, I'm locking it down. I'm prepared, you know, like, I don't know what's gonna happen. But
you got one foot out the door already.
No. I'm just saying I don't know what's gonna happen.
Okay. So who are you killing? That's a good one too, also.
A good one to marry.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. A lot of potential there.
A lot of potential.
He's like the kind of guy that your parents would say, such a nice young man.
Oh, definitely. He's opening doors.
So who am I gonna kill? Who do I want to kill? I think I'm good and ready to kill Iguodala.
Man, you think he's ready to get put out to pasture?
Man, I don't get... It's not fair that you get to play only postseason basketball.
I'd agree with that.
Get out of here.
I mean, it only works for them, too.
Yeah, and it's great that it works, and it's great that you get to do that, and you have, like...
You can just be hurt and bad all season, and then it's like, all right, time to... They say every year, Switch is getting later and later.
Yeah.
It's time to put them out to pasture.
It's time to put them down. I'm done. I don't have time for that.
Yeah, I would go to that. I mean, I would go to your wedding and the funeral that they put on for Iguodala. Those are all really good picks.
Yeah, he probably needs some enhancement. You know what I mean?
Whoa. I mean, I don't, but...
So he's got to be put down.
Man, shots fired right now from Will Updike. That is an opinion. My love, marry, kill... I'm loving Lance.
Really?
You're telling
why?
Me
why?
What do you mean, why? First of all, you know he blows in ears. Like, that's a fun
very
guy.
Sensual.
Dude, that's a fun guy.
Okay.
Like, he's a guy, like, we're going to Benihana's, you know? Like... He's volunteering to do stuff. Like, if we go to an improv show, he's shouting out great things. Like, I think that's really fun.
He's a participator.
He's a participator, and it'd be a lot of fun. Plus, he's a great dancer. We've seen from his Instagram.
Yeah, that's true.
I'm having fun. I'm loving Lance. I'm going to marry... Oh, man. Man, this is tough.
There's a lot of... I mean, I know we were talking about... There's a lot of good small forwards, I feel like.
Yeah, I would marry Trevor Ariza.
Ooh, all right.
Seems like a stern but content partner.
All right. How much longer do you think he's in the league, though?
3 years.
That's kind of what I was thinking.
I think 3 years. But for those 3 years, it's going to be the best 3 years of my life.
That's true. That's a good start to a marriage.
I think that would be a good... I think that'd be a
you
good
You can
marriage.
Coast like 20 years.
That's
20
what
years
I mean.
Of miserableness to
and he'd be into
okayness.
It. Yeah. I think he'd be into it. He's never really caused a fuss on any teams that he's been on. To go for whatever 2000 in that Western Conference Finals playoff game. But I can get past that, you know? I can get past his shortcomings. Because he can get past mine.
Yeah.
And there
is a lot of good in there.
Oh, man. Once you get that dust off, there's a bunch of good in there. Killing. I was going to say Iguodala, so I'm going to say a different one. Man. I'd go KD.
All right.
He's too much. Charles Barkley had a great quote where he's like, stop trying to be this mean guy. Like, he was like, be this nice guy. Like, you were a nice guy in OKC.
Yeah.
Like, this seems like a fake tough thing.
It's more awkward than when LeBron was kind of trying to play the villain when he went to the Heat.
Well, I like that because LeBron at least had like a good looking goatee. So it was like a real good villain goatee.
Yeah.
Durant can't even do that.
Yeah.
Durant, it's just like, and there was a Slam article that was like, he keeps it real on social media. I'm like, no, this is the opposite of what this it. Like, this is not... He had burner accounts, man. I'm sure other players do, too. But he got caught with them.
Now he's burner free.
Supposedly.
He is still deleting tweets, which means...
which is childish, dude. You're a grown man. Like, he had that weird tweet about Scarlett Johansson's bathwater. Yeah, KD, get out of here. That would be mine, I think. Me and Ariza are going to be happy forever. Lance and I are going to have some fun.
Yeah.
We're all going to KD's funeral, though. We will all be posted
All three of you are going to go together.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to be the pallbearers.
Okay. Interesting. And that won't be awkward for any of you.
No, it's at this point, it's what? It'll be 2020?
Yeah.
No, I mean, polyamory is going to be the new norm.
Okay.
Know? It's going to be, everyone's going to be great.
Well, it's not really polyamory because it feels like you've moved on from Lance Stephenson to be with Trevor Ariza.
We still talk.
Oh, all right. You keep the door open.
You can't let Lance go. He's such a sweet talker.
You can't
talker.
Let Love go.
You can't. He's such a sweet talker. That's how I got roped into it in the first place. Pretty exciting. We got preseason basketball is coming up.
Yes.
This is just kind of a thing I just realized. I'm very excited for that. Tickets are pretty cheap.
Yeah.
I think we're going to maybe put out a tweet if anyone wants to get together and just get a section going or something for some preseason games. Drink some beers, eat some Ludo Bird.
Yeah. Could definitely going to the Nuggets game.
Definitely going to the Nuggets game. Definitely, and they're doing Timberwolves, I believe, too.
Yeah.
So I really want to see Karl-Anthony Towns. We went to see a preseason game last year where the Blazers looked like the greatest team in basketball.
It was insane.
Lillard had 46 or something like that. You got anything else?
No, that about does it for the week.
Yeah, let's hope you guys have a good weekend. Thank you for listening to the Locked On Clippers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I've been Honest Chuck Mockler.
And I'm William the Opinion Updike. Thanks, guys.
Bye.